Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the entrance of your word brings light. We give you glory and praise. And he also gives understanding, even to the simple. As the Lord himself said, I thank thee, O God of heaven and earth, that you have kept these things hidden from the wise, the prudent, from kings and prophets, and many things. Angels desire to look into these things, but you have revealed them unto us. So we give you the praise, and you give you the glory. And now, O Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word, once again, we declare it. It gives, brings light to us, and gives understanding. We declare that it is so this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we are in the series, of God's eternal purpose and his purpose for our life. And this mini series portion of it is God's original purpose for man, a deep dive. Today we want to look at, how to be more, function more like God. We've talked about that the last 2 days. We want to look, take another look at the way God did these things that he did in Genesis chapter 1. And I love that last song because it was just like God did it in the beginning. He said things. He said, let certain things be. Well, and and if we declare heavens drop down, let the atmosphere shift. I mean, we can actually declare these things. We'll find out more in today's lesson. Praise the Lord. So, as God was creating these things, we've studied this book of Genesis chapter 1 the last 2 days. Today I want to focus more on an attribute of God that we must become. We have to become that attribute. We have to become these attributes of God. There's another song that we played that said, I am holy, I am righteous. God is holy and God is righteous. So we must become these things. And we should be like that. Praise God. And we know that even Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, he told them to be perfect. Matthew 5 and 48. Be ye therefore perfect. The scripture tells us to be holy. And, even as our, Father is holy. So we got to be like him. Not try to be, but just be. Praise the Lord. So that's what we want to talk about today. And but how do we do it? We have to first of all understand, how he did it. Praise the Lord. And how can we? And the last 2 days we also looked at the statement that God declared, particularly yesterday, where he declared that we are gods. Yeah? And that's in the scriptures. I want to talk about that, a little bit more today. Praise the Lord. So there are some scriptures to consider, how that, God said certain things to certain people that he called. For instance, when he called Abraham after several years of Abraham walking with God, we know he called him Genesis 12. And in Genesis 15, we know he revealed to him the things that will come to pass in his life and his generations. And he gave him a promise of, giving him himself, And then we know that he was walking with God for several years. And now we come to Genesis chapter 17 and see what the Lord said. And when Abraham was 99 years old, it's 24 years now, he's been walking with the Lord. And the Lord appeared to him again and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Don't try to be perfect, just be perfect. See, so this is the way that God says it. It's not about trying to be, it's about being. God is. God is not trying to be anything. He is. And so we should not be trying to be anything. We should be. So part of this series is to help us understand that. Because that's difficult to understand if we are not engaging in the spirit. Because how can we be, you know, when it looks like we can't be? But, you know, that's just tradition that makes us think that we can't be. God already said you are. In the book of Psalm 82, you know, he said, well, I said that ye are gods. And Jesus referred to this statement. We read this yesterday. And, you know, I want to kick off this lesson by saying, and the scripture cannot be broken. That's what Jesus said. We spoke about that yesterday, and that's where I want to pick up today. Jesus said, well, if God said that you are gods and the scripture cannot be broken, now that means that you are gods. That's just the way it is. You know, we shouldn't let our tradition tell us and the religion tell us that it cannot be. You know, so, well, it is, because the scripture cannot be broken. So yesterday we were talking about the story in John chapter 10, where Jesus was telling the people these things. When he said that he and his father are one, the people took up stones to try to kill him. And then Jesus asked them, well, why are you trying to kill me? I showed you many good works. And they said, well, for all the good works you showed, that's good. That's fine. We're not trying to kill you for those. But because you, being a man, make yourself God, because you said, I am my father, I won. You know, well, of course, they acknowledge that God is the father, because Jesus said, I am my father, I won. And he said, well, this was the answer of Jesus. Is it not written in your law, that's Psalm 82, I said, ye are gods. If he, that's the Lord, God Almighty, if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken out. You know, take that one literally the way Jesus said it. He said, God called them gods, and the scripture cannot be broken. Which means what God said is real. And that's, it's actually more real than anything else. You know, God's word is more real than anything else. Praise God. Did you even know that the things that we don't see are actually more real than the things we see? It's just our culture that makes us not to function like that. The scripture says that the visible things are temporal, right? So, but the invisible things are eternal. What does that mean? It means that eternal things which you don't see, things, invisible things which you don't see, are actually more real than the things that we see, because they will last longer. They will outlast the things you see, because visible things, you know, will pass away, and the things that are not visible, even at the moment, they will outlast what your senses can see at the moment. So that is powerful. Consider that as part of this lesson today. When we look at the things, right, which we can see with our eyes, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that. Well, let's read that chapter. Go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read, verse 18. You know, if we look at the things that we see, right? Well, the things, here's what it says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, right, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I mean, how can you look at the things which are not seen? Well, you look in the spirit. You know, he said, well, the things you see with your natural eyes, those are temporary. They will vanish away. But the things which you don't see, they are eternal. That tells you that even though you don't see it, it's actually more real than what you see. So let's have an atmosphere shift. Let's have a paradigm shift. Let's have a cultural shift in our heads. The way we normally think is, well, what we see is what we know. Well, that's not how God operated. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. You know, all these things were not seen. You know, according to Romans, he called the things which were not as though they were. He called them out one by one. Actually, God saw them in his own mind. But, you know, physically looking, it didn't look like those things existed, but they were in his mind, you know. And because they were in his mind, God was able to call them out. He said, God quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they already were, according to Romans 4 and 17. So let's see how he did it. Back to Genesis. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Huh? That's how he did it. And we're going to talk about that today. What does it mean when God said, let there be? Well, let there be is a powerful declaration from God. Is cause it to come to pass. You know, whatever it takes, you know, when God says that there will be formation of things. That's all he had to say. He already seen it in his mind. And he said, God, you know, let there be, and there will be, you know, because he said so. Let there be light, and there was light. And you go down again, and God said, well, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide waters from the sea, you know. And immediately things started to happen to create that firmament. And then again, God said, let the waters, I like this one. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. Hallelujah. Yeah. So let things happen. You can say the same thing. You know, if you understand it, I'm going to show you how in a little bit. When we can function like this, and this is how God wants us to function, you know, as he spoke to all these elements, we said yesterday, he called them forth, spoke to them, called them forth, spoke to them. He spoke to the materials that he wanted to use, like, you know, let the waters move, and then let the earth appear. And then when the waters had moved and the earth appeared, well, then he spoke to the earth, let the earth bring forth stuff. Then he spoke to the waters, let the waters bring forth stuff. Then finally, he spoke to himself, let us make man in our image. So we see that we are made of his material, and we should understand what it means to be in his image and his likeness. Think like him. Be like him and function like him. That's the part that we want to emphasize today. Be like him. You know, be ye holy as your God is holy. You know, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And, you know, walk before me and be perfect. God told Abraham. All these things, every time he said be, not try to be, but be. So we are already made in the image of God. We're already made in his likeness. So we need to be in his image and be in his likeness, not try to be in his image or try to be in his likeness. No, we're already in his image. So be in his image. We're already in his likeness. So be in his likeness. And part of his image is God is holy. God is not trying to be holy. He's holy. So we should be holy. God is not trying to be righteous. He is righteous. So we should be righteous. Hallelujah. The next time a devil or the world or your mind or anything else is trying to suggest some unrighteous thing to you, say, no, I am in the nature of God. I don't do that. I don't do that stuff. And you just walk away. Jesus said, no, get thee behind me, Satan, and just walked away. Praise the Lord. I rebuked him. Get thee behind me. Now, this is how John the Apostle brought it out. And we talked about this a bit yesterday. But I want to tie this again together. Consider this a review and also some further revelation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. And I laid in my bed yesterday, and for a long time, I was just repeating this verse to myself. I repeated it for a long time. Just kept repeating it to myself. Repeated it. Say, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's it. Now, this is the way, this is how we should be. Now, in this same chapter, at the beginning, he said, well, you may not be like it yet, but this is how you should be. Praise God. So we shouldn't be trying to not commit sin. We should just not commit sin. You know, because his seed is in us. And we got to recognize the seed. And you have to use that as an advantage and say to the devil, no, I can't do that because God's seed remains in me. Praise God. And that's how actually Jesus looked at people. Say, look, you're better than that. You know, they brought somebody to him in John chapter 8, caught in the middle of adultery. And Jesus said, you're better than that. You don't need to be doing that stuff. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Go and sin no more. No, don't go and try to not sin. He just said it. Go and sin no more. That's it. You know, it's not about trying. Just be that. Because you can't be that. But, you know, the devil all along has made us believe that we cannot be that. You know, we cannot be holy. We cannot be righteous. We cannot be sinless. But this is the nature of God that's inside of us. Another nature of God that's inside of us is how God operates by faith. I want us to learn that. God will see something in his mind and then call it forth. Now, Jesus said in the book of John, this is a powerful scripture I want to give you today. It walks in the line of faith, operating like God. You know, have the faith of God. The things that Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. Have the faith of God, you know, and so forth. But let me give you a promise that Jesus made about the Holy Spirit in John, you know, chapter 16. Jesus was talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit and some of the things that the Holy Spirit will do, you know, when he comes, right? Was what he will do when he comes. He says in John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Spirit of God, which we now have, at that time Jesus was trying to introduce him because he hadn't been given yet, but now we have it. Say, how be it when he, Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, this Spirit of God is only given to believers. Unbelievers cannot receive the Spirit of God. You know, this Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, as we call him, because in an earlier chapter, you know, Jesus was talking about it. You know, in John chapter 14, he talked about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, he talked about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, he talked about the Holy Spirit. Here's what he said in John 14, 26. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But when the Comforter is come, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. That's one thing the Holy Spirit will do. Will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, what I've said unto you. Then you go to chapter 15, verse 26. And he puts this statement out about the Holy Spirit. Who can receive the Holy Spirit and who cannot? Well, you know, he says here in John chapter 15 and verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, see, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even he shall testify of me, bear witness, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, again, in chapter 16, the one where I was going to, he made this statement that the Holy Spirit, when it comes, there are some things that he will do, and we want to dwell on that today. What will the Holy Spirit do when it comes? He will guide you into all truth. You know, when he guides you into all truth, he will, you know, also show you things to come. The things to come part is what I wanted to bring out. We'll show you things to come. Now, but before I go there, let me go back here. This just reminded me that I didn't read the place that I wanted to read. John 14 and verse 17. You know, it says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's the one I was looking for. Because they see him not, you know. But he's dwelling with you and he will be in you later. So you see that at that time, they have not received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But later he was going to be in them. First with you, then in you. But the world cannot receive him. So, whereas Jesus is the gift of God to the world, according to John 3 and 16, the gift of God to the church is the Holy Spirit. And the world cannot receive him, says here. But let's talk about showing you things to come. That's the part that I want to talk about today. As part of the nature of God that we must become. Become his nature, be like him, because he said we are. We're made in his image and likeness. We function like him, we think like him, we reason like him, we do like him. You know, so what does it mean to show you things to come? This scripture, at first glance, when you read it, this is John 16 and 13, it may look to you like the Holy Spirit will reveal to you things to come, because that's exactly what he said. And people may think of prophetic things, you know, things to come in your life, things to come in the world around you, and so on and so forth. Holy Spirit will get you prepared for that. Now, he will do all of that. But there is an element here that we may be missing. And you know, this is the one that I want to talk to you about today. You may be missing this part. That when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. It's talking about how the Holy Spirit will relate to you and you will relate to him, even in your individual lives. You know, he will not speak of himself, but what he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Show you things to come in your individual life. Guide you step by step. What's ahead? That's good. But also, think about this. Here's a revelation from this verse for us today. This is how the Lord functioned. The Lord saw things to come in his mind, and then he called them out. You know, he saw the light would be better than the darkness, and so he called out the light. You know, he saw that the firmament will have a function. He called it out. He saw, you know, the waters bringing forth fish and whales and all these things. So he called them out. He saw the earth bringing forth, you know, vegetation and animals and so on. They called them out. Now, we also can see, the Holy Spirit can show you things to come. You call it out. You know, the Lord said, let there be, because he already saw it, and he said, well, let it happen, as I've seen it. Well, so you can say the same thing. You know, you're looking at some part of your body that is not right, some sickness or something, Well, OSB can show you as you're healed. Praise the Lord. I just think of it this way. You may be on a sick bed. Holy Spirit shows you that you got up. You may be in a wheelchair. Holy Spirit showed you that you're walking. So you call it out because he has shown you things to come. See? Now, that's being like God. Hallelujah. And it could be a family member as well that's sick and plagued. And the devil is trying to bring fear to your heart and so on. Well, you can see that person as healed. Holy Spirit show you things to come. Well, they may be sick today, but Holy Spirit show you they're healed. And then because he showed you they're healed, then you call it out. So I call forth your healing. Because Holy Spirit already showed it to you. See, that's how it works. This is exactly how God did everything that he did. He saw it and then he called it forth. Now, there's a lesson that God gave us in the story of Abraham. He dealt with this Abraham in many ways where he tried to show us these lessons. Praise God. Yeah, you know, there was a story in Genesis chapter 13. There's been a story between Abraham and his nephew Lot. How when God called Abraham in Genesis 12 and told him to leave the place where he was and God would take him to somewhere. Well, he took along his nephew Lot because Lot's father was Abraham's brother and he had died. So Lot became Abraham's ward, or so to speak, Abraham was his guardian. So he took him along. And later on, as they began, God began to bless them. God blessing Abraham, God blessing Lot. Their servants grew, their cattle grew, and everything. And they couldn't stay together in one place. They were always fighting over things. Abraham says to Lot, look, you know, there's a lot of land ahead of us. Why are we fighting here? Let's come out here. You choose whichever way you go. If you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. In honor, preferring one another. Abraham didn't need to do that. It was Abraham that God called, not Lot. He just brought him along. But he gave him the, you know, right of first refusal. You choose first. So Lot, of course, being Cana, looked at all the green stuff, you know. Should have deferred to his uncle. Say, oh, no. You brought me along. You choose first. Well, he didn't do that. And he said, well, you know, he saw all the land that was green and everything. And so I'm going to take that because that'd be easier for us. I said, fine. Go ahead. Take it. I'll take whatever is remains. Abraham took whatever was remaining. As far as God was concerned, see, it isn't with God to bless by many or few, by small or great, by what's green or what looks dry. It doesn't matter to God. You know, all you got to be is just be in the right place. You know, now, to God, here as we pick up this story in Genesis 13, you know, and verse 14. You know, and the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, get rid of that distraction and so forth. You are the one God called. You brought him along. Now look at the problem. But, you know, God had to wait for Adam to be in the same place, you know, call him alone. Abraham, I mean, not Adam. Call him alone. And so when he was now alone, Lot had departed, you know, God now brought Abraham his word and said to him, lift now thine eyes. See, now there's something about seeing something. You can see it physically or you can see it in your mind. In this case, he said, well, lift now up thine eyes and look from where you are, right here. Look northward, look southward, look eastward, and look westward. For all the land that you see will I give to you and to your seed forever. And so God is showing us a principle here that first you got to see it in order to get it. Now, in this case, I was telling him, you know, whatever you see. Now, Abraham had some means that he could use in order to see more, right? He could I mean, if there were trees in front of him and different things like that, they would block his vision. So he would have to go out to a plain place in order to see more. Because God said, whatever you can see, that's what I'm going to give you. And, well, today we also now know about how the horizon works. You know, I've taught this several times. The horizon is like the an imaginary line that looks like heaven and earth meet. And you can look, you know, you can look, and if you can see far enough, it looks like it's way out there. Now, of course, you can't even see it if there's houses or trees blocking your vision. So when you can rise up, you know, there's actually a mathematical scientific formula that tells you how far out you can see, and it's based upon your current height above the ground. The higher you go, the farther out you can see. And so, if Abraham was able somehow to clear all the things that would obstruct his vision and see more, he would get more. God said, whatever you see is what I'm going to give you. So this is a lesson in faith. I'll bring this out as part of this series. You must see it. Holy Spirit will show it to you. He said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You're not there yet, but you see it. You don't have that land yet, but you see it. You don't have that healing yet, but you see it. You don't have that job yet, but you see it. You don't have that child yet, but you see it. You don't have that husband yet, but you see it. You don't have that wife yet, but you see it. You don't have that house yet, but you see it. You know, whatever you can see. Hallelujah. Now that dream, you know, people talk about dreams. You know, a dream can be something you sleep and visualize in your subconscious mind or whatever. And people call it a dream, night vision and so forth. A dream comet, this and that. But a dream can also be an aspiration. Something that you are hoping to achieve. And people call it dreams. Well, in this case, not a dream. It's a vision. You must see it by the eye of faith in order to get it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to show it to you. So, operating like God, think about it. Darkness everywhere. Everything void. Holy Spirit moves upon the face of the waters. Now, Holy Spirit must always move before chaos can be corrected. There was chaos everywhere. You know, earth was without void, you know. I mean, void and without form and chaotic and everything. Holy Spirit doesn't like chaos. When he sees chaos, he moves to bring order. And there is nobody like that Holy Spirit that can bring order out of chaos. And he moved upon the waters. Now, Holy Spirit must move first before anything happens. Then follows the word. So the Holy Spirit will inspire your heart. Just like in Genesis, Holy Spirit moved first. Then God spoke. Holy Spirit will inspire your heart to see it. Jesus said it. John 16 and 13. We show you things to come. You see it. You see that healing. Ha! Hallelujah. Even though you are not healed today, but you see the healing. Holy Spirit show you things to come. The moment you see it, now here comes the word. Then you speak it. Glory to God. It's like God said, let there be. Because you've seen it. And the Holy Spirit has shown you. And you say, well, let this, my body be healed. Let my vision be plainer. You know, whatever it is. Then you call it forth. Now that the Holy Spirit has shown it to you, you come in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's right. That's what the Lord showed me some time ago. He said, all you got to do is come in agreement with the Holy Spirit when he shows you. And that's how my faith has been operating. And they're taking me to a greater level of faith. Once the Holy Spirit shows it to me, I key in into that. And that's it. End of story. You can't shake it. It's done. Because God spoke the word, you know, and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. Well, when we speak the word also, after the Holy Spirit shows it to you, then it will be done. Now remember, Lamentation 3 and 37. which we quote all the time. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So you wait for the Holy Spirit to show it to you. By faith, you see it in the spirit realm. Then you call it forth. That's exactly how God did it. And look at some marvelous things that the Lord has, put out there that we can call forth. Some of the things in the global mind of God, what he wanted, is eternal purpose. It's written here. Some of it is written here in Isaiah 45 verse 8. And you can call it forth. This is God calling it forth. And here's what he's saying. Remember, we talked about heaven and earth. We talked about this. God said, drop down, ye heavens, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Drop down from above, ye heavens. Let the earth pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. They're walking together. See? Now, what are they going to do when they conjunct? Well, they're going to bring forth salvation and righteousness, because I, the Lord, have created it. Now, notice this verse. He's calling it forth, and he's calling it creation. See? It's very powerful. He's calling it forth, and he's calling it creation. He's calling forth righteousness. He's calling forth salvation. He says, heaven, do your part. Let the earth do its part. Let them conjunct together. They are going to bring forth righteousness because I have created it. Now, so this verse is telling us that this calling forth and these things, this is how creation works. Hallelujah. And this is powerful. Now, you can call for salvation in your family. You can call for righteousness in your cities. The Lord said, I've already created it, but you must call it forth. See, God had to say, drop down, ye heavens, and let the skies pour down. He had to speak it out, even though he's already created it, but he has to speak it forth. And when you speak it forth and these things happen and they conjunct together like that, righteousness will spring forth together. He said, because I, the Lord, have created it. So if you let the Holy Spirit reveal this verse to you, you will see the act of creation is described in God calling forth things. Let the waters that be above firmament, let them be gathered together in this one place, and let the dry land appear. Let the heavens drop down. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up, and let them bring forth all this. Let. He's calling it forth, and he's saying it. And he's calling it creation. Hallelujah. That's how it works. So this verse explaining how the Lord did it. And this is how we must do it too. We can actually be creators. Just like he called them gods. Little g. He's the big G. We can be the little g. Little g is sufficient. You don't need to be the big G. And you can't be the big G. the devil tried to be the big G. Lucifer. I will be like the Most High. I will go climb my, God never intended it for him. So he was a usurper, always being a usurper. So God said, no, I'll cast you down to hell. You're not doing any of that. But then he turned around and looked at his children and said, I will put my glory upon you. The glory that I had with the Father from the beginning, as a matter of fact, I've given it to them. Glory to God. So now, the little g is sufficient. One woman said, when Jesus said, look, I can't take what belongs to the children and give to dogs. The woman said, well, I'm fine. The crumbs are enough for me. Praise God. And Jesus said, my goodness, this is great faith. Well, the little g is a powerful force already in itself. Read it again for yourself in Psalm 82. When he called us the little g, he said, well, but when you don't know who you are, you will continue to be in darkness. And the devil will continue to play ping pong with your life. Bounce you all over the place, toss to and fro, and so on and so forth. But the moment you recognize who you are and begin to function like God, it's game over for the devil. He can't do it, you know. But he will always try to deceive. You say, God's standard, reading to you again, Psalm 82. God's standard, the congregation of the mighty, judged among the gods. Little G. And he's saying to the gods now, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? I mean, you need to be doing the right thing. You're better than that, you know. God is the judge of the whole earth. He's made you little gods like him. You should do the right thing. You should defend the poor and the fatherless. You should do justice to the afflicted and the needy. You should deliver the poor and the needy. You should get them out of the hand of the wicked. These are the things that you should be doing. You should bring deliverance to them that are oppressed. You know, you should bring, you know, the breaking asunder of the bands of wickedness. You know, you should bring deliverance from oppression and oppressing spirits. And, you know, breaking off heavy yokes. These are the things you should be doing. Now, he said, well, but because they know not, neither will they understand. If you don't know, then you won't understand. So knowledge is key. Jesus said it himself. You know, the truth that you know shall make you free. You shall know the truth. John 8:32. When you know it, it leads to deliverance. Well, in this case, he said, they know not, therefore they don't understand anything. And so they continue to walk in darkness. The devil continues to keep us beneath our God-given capacity to function like God because we have no knowledge. Our tradition has blinded our eyes. And Jesus said, if your leaders be blind and you yourself are blind, well, you both fall into the ditch. So what we need to do is not be blind. Don't be blind. Your leaders, which are the religious systems, they may be blind, but you should not be blind. And then you will not fall into the ditch. It's on you to not be blind. You can't blame the blind leader. What about you? Open your own eyes wide. Don't be blind along with them. You know, so now we must understand these things so that we will not walk in darkness. And where, as long as we're in darkness, the whole earth will be out of kilter. You know, read it for yourself in Psalm 82 and verse 5. Because we have no knowledge, we don't understand what God has deposited in us. And that makes us to continue to walk in darkness. You know? And because of that, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. And God is looking for us to get back to position so that we can bring the earth back into alignment. And that's why Romans 8:19 says what it says. The whole earth, creation, everything, waiting for these people to come back, get out of darkness, come into the light. But Jesus made a powerful statement in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Now, we should not be like this, because Jesus said we are not like that. You know, but this is what happens when we don't give ourselves to the knowledge of the holy. You know, so Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, so now you don't need to walk in darkness anymore. You can say, and do you know that this same statement that Jesus made, calling himself the light of the world, he turned around and called his disciples the light of the world as well. You know, so everything that he is, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we. He said in the book of Mark chapter 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, well, you are the light of the world. You are also the salt of the earth. And if you are the light of the world, what does that mean? Well, just like Jesus, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the light that lighteneth every man that comes into the world in John chapter 1. So we also are the light of the world. Jesus said it here. Verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 5. Ye are the salt of the earth. But remember, if the salt has forgotten its function, that's right, then what good is it? It's of no good. That's what we talked about purpose the other day. Purpose is the reason something exists. Purpose is their function, what they're supposed to do. What's the purpose of this thing? What's the purpose of salt? Well, if the salt has forgotten its purpose, then it's useless. And light, What's the purpose of light? Well, if the light has forgotten its purpose, then it's useless. So light, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. But remember, he called himself also the light of the world. I am the light of the world, he said. John 8:12. Here he says, ye are the light of the world. Well, which one is it? Is it Jesus that is the light, or is it us that is the light, or both? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the answer is both. We cannot be anything until Jesus was first that thing. But because he was first that thing, you know, he said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, whatever my Father has appointed unto me, I appoint also unto you. My Father appointed me a kingdom, and I appoint you also a kingdom. That's right. You know, so he is the light, and he makes us the light. He shines through us. Glory to God. You know, so these are the things that we must see ourselves as. Must see ourselves the way Christ sees us. Christ sees you as the light. Don't see yourself as darkness. Christ said you are the light of the world. Then be the light. You are the salt of the earth. Then be the salt. Don't try to be the light. You already are the light. Just let it shine. Let the light shine. Isaiah 60. Arise and shine. Because the light is already inside you. It's upon you and it's in you. Let the light shine. And Jesus said it's a powerful thing that he said here about light. In the book of John, you know, you might remember this John chapter 11 is where the story of Lazarus and all of that is. But let's pick up, you know, a couple of verses here. You know, when Jesus wanted to go, it would start in the early part of John chapter 11. Now, when Jesus had heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. This is verse 5 of John 11. And Jesus said to his disciples, well, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said, Master, these Jews are trying to kill you. Why do you want to go there? You know? And he said, well, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in darkness, now listen to this. This statement is powerful. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not because he sees the light of this world. I mean, that's everybody. You don't have to be anything special. When it's daytime, you don't need a flashlight. You don't need a lamp. You don't need anything. The sun is out shining. Everybody can see clearly. And you go out in the daytime, you will not stumble because you can see. Now, but Jesus said, if a man walk in the night, though, he stumbles. But what is the reason why he stumbles? This statement might surprise you. You know, does he stumble because it is dark? That's what you would think Jesus would say next. Because he said, look, when it is light, everybody can see. There's no problem. Now, what about when it is night? Well, so you stumble. You know, and the next statement I would expect Jesus to say is that, well, you stumble because it is dark. He didn't say that at all. He said the man stumbles because there is no light in him. Not that there's no light around him. See? Now, everybody benefits from the light of day. But the believers have light inside of them. Gross darkness may be around them, but the light is already inside them. Glory to God. You know, the light of God is inside of you. That's the reason you don't stumble. It's not because there is light around you. Whether there is light around you or not, it matters not. Isaiah 60 said that there will be gross darkness around the world. But you, because the light is inside you, not the light is outside that you can see. Now, other people that don't have this light in them, they depend on external light. But you, you have the light inside you. Hallelujah. Powerful statement. And that's why Jesus said, look, you know, John chapter 8 and 12, I'm the light. If any man follows me, he will not stumble. He will not walk in darkness because he has the light of life inside him. Now, this light of life, if it's inside you, well, use it like it was inside Christ. The reason Christ was able to do all those miracles he did was because he was the light. See, light shineth, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. When light comes, darkness must depart. When you enter into a dark room, you flip up the switch, the darkness is departed because the light is there. Now, when we have, look, if any man can become light, they will heal every sickness. You won't even need to pray because the moment they appear, the darkness must depart. That's what light does. When you turn on light, the darkness departs. When you enter into a dark room, the first thing you do instinctively is to reach for the switch. And, you wait until you find the switch. You don't want to walk around because you might stumble over the chair or something. You know, so, but as soon as you turn on the light, the darkness is gone. Glory to God. All these walks of sickness, all these things, they are darkness. And if the light comes, the light will dispel the darkness. That's why Jesus was able to always dispel, whether it was demonic spirits, whether it was legion that was in people, whether it was the deaf, dumb, whatever. It didn't matter. As soon as he spoke, because his word carried the light, it dispels the darkness. That's it. You know, and that's why Jesus, when he conferred it upon the people, he said, look, here's your training lesson today. All right, everybody, come here. You and you, pair up. You and you, pair up. You and you, pair up. He divided them two by two. Said, look, okay, here's what you're going to do. This is your training lesson. You're going to go out there. You're going to heal the sick. He didn't say you're going to pray for the sick. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to cast out devils. You're going to cleanse lepers. And you're going to raise the dead. I've given it to you freely. So dish it out freely. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is, you know, how we must function like God. We must know that we are like God. He said, ye are gods. You are like God. He cannot use capital G because there's only one capital G. But when he puts his nature in you, you become like little G, God. And you function like little G. Little G is sufficient to subdue the earth. He can do it. That's why Jesus was always disappointed when the disciples couldn't do what he knew they could do. You know, because they thought they couldn't do it. See, when Jesus went down and was sleeping in the boat, knew the storm was coming, didn't bother him at all because he knew the disciples could take care of the storm. But he was disappointed when they did not take care. Not that they could not take care of the storm, but they did not take care of the storm. So we need to recognize what's in us and take care of the storm. Because you can. But Jesus expects you to. So when they woke him up and say, Master, don't you care that we perish? Jesus is going to say, hey, what's happening? He said, well, Lord, I mean, are you kidding me? What's happening? You are sleeping? I mean, look at all the water rushing into the boat. We're about to drown. He said, look, oh my goodness. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long will I be with you? You know, why is it that you are so far? Why is it you have no faith? He rebuked them. You know, rebuked the disciples and rebuked the storm as well. How did Jesus rebuke the storm? He just spoke to the storm. So we got to speak to storms. When you see a storm brewing, well, let the Holy Spirit show you the calm after the storm. Hallelujah. Jesus already saw the calm after the storm. Already saw himself on the other side of the travel. But that's what he said. So when you are seeing any storm, don't see yourself as being in the storm. See yourself as having passed through the storm. When you pass through, according to Isaiah 43 and 2, I'll be there with you. So see yourself as passing through. According to Psalm 23 and verse 4, when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, he already saw himself as on the other side. So the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Today I want us to practice. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to practice. Practice the presence of the Lord. Let there be an atmosphere shift. And when he begins to show you some, zero in on something that you are believing God for right now. And then practicing it. You know, the Lord said, look, if you can see it, I can give it to you. And the more you see, the more I can give you. As far as you can see from the place where you are. Don't worry about, you know, tomorrow yet. But figure out, where am I? I'm right here. Well, now look around you. Well, what do you want to see? Well, see it. And then I'll give it to you. The Lord said to Abraham. So I want you to put your mind on the thing that you want to see. As long as it's according to the word of God. Now, don't try to see anything that God has not commanded. That's not going to work. So you look for what he has already commanded, which is yours, but which the devil is blocking you from having by whatever means. You know, wellness is yours. Devil put sickness, so you can't have the wellness. Well, see yourself well. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, how that Jesus, though he was owner of all things, became poor for your sakes that you might be rich in him. Well, the devil trying to make you poor, steal some of your things, see yourself as possessing those things. Isaiah chapter 62 verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, I sworn by my right hand and my holy arm, the arm of my strength, that I will no longer give your corn to be meat for your enemies. Neither will the sons of the stranger drink your wine for the which you have labored. But those who have gathered it will eat it in the courts of my holiness, saith the Lord. Well, the devil is stealing the things that belong to you. Well, see those things as restored, saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. God said to David, you will recover all. Hallelujah. You will surely recover all. Well, and he did recover all. Now, so I want you to let the Holy Spirit show you. Let him show you the victory, even though there may be a struggle right now. But see the victory. See the victory. Just what Jesus said. Jesus saw the victory ahead of. That's what the Bible says. He saw the joy that was ahead of him. He saw the victory that was ahead. So he despised all these other things, all the problems around him right now, people spiting him, slapping him on his cheek, putting all this crown of thorns on his head. He didn't care about all that because he saw the sons of God being liberated because of the ransom that he was paying. And he saw that. Glory to God. He also saw the graves were open. He saw all the things that would happen. And so he focused on what the Spirit of God showed him. Now, you focus on what God is showing you. Never mind the storms around you. You focus on what the Lord is showing you. See the calm even while going through the storm. See your healing even while your body still looks sick. Hallelujah. For yourself and your loved one. And let's practice being like God right now. I want us to practice. Look, I can take this lesson to any dimension, but I see that we're already at the bottom of the hour. How quickly time flies. So I'm going to leave it here, but you can practice this. I want you to practice with me. Find in your mind, zero in on the thing that you want to practice with. You don't give them practice. You go out there and do these things. It's a practice. Well, let's practice this today. It works. You know, I can guarantee you, I've done it many times, a lot, and it always works. Practice it. And let the Holy Spirit show it to you. How do the Holy Spirit show you? Well, you enter into his presence with praise and worship. You know, at first, you're not even, you know, putting that thing in front of you. You're just wanting to worship him. And while you are in worship, all of a sudden, he shows you the victory. That's how it works. All of a sudden, because it's in your mind. The Holy Spirit can pull it out of your mind. You know, that thing is in your mind, but you close it, you put it away somewhere, and then you come and praise him and worship him. And while you are worshiping him and just blessing him, Holy Spirit will pull that thing out of your mind because he knows it. Pull it out of there and he'll show you the victory. And the moment you see the victory, now you speak it. You got to speak that victory that the Holy Spirit has shown you. You got to speak it. You can't speak anything negative. Beware if you speak negative stuff. That's not going to work. As thou hast spoken in my ears, Numbers 14 and 28, even so will I do unto you. But so don't speak anything that the Holy Spirit didn't say. Jesus himself said it. The Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him. So let the Holy Spirit show you. Once the Holy Spirit shows you, then speak it. And then you speak it like God spoke it. Let there be. You speak it without doubt. Jesus said, if you can speak it and don't doubt it, but you believe it, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. That's what God did. He spoke it. There's nothing like doubting God. There's nothing like fearing God. I mean, devil tries to make us afraid, but Bible says God has not given you the spirit of bondage again to fear. Jesus always told the people, fear not. Fear not. He wasn't telling them, try to be bold. No. It's not about trying to be bold. It's to be not afraid. You know, you got to be something. Either you are fearful or you are not afraid. So Jesus said, be not afraid. Not try to be bold. No, just be not afraid. Because God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has given you the spirit of boldness. That you can call him Abba. He's my source. Father. And then you use that power to speak forth things. So I'm going to pray right now. Then I'm going to let you declare as well. Now your declaration today will be different than before. Because before when you declare, you were trying to believe. And it wasn't working. But you are trying to believe. You don't need to try to believe. You are God's. The spirit of the living God is in you. And the scripture cannot be broken. So speak. Say, my spirit which I have put upon you shall not depart from your mouth. Why did he say mouth? Why not heart? Because you've got to speak that thing that he has shown you. You got to speak it. Why did he say the words of this word of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth? Same thing. You must speak it. That's how God did it. He spoke it and then it was done. He commanded and then he stood fast. So we also must speak it. After that, the Holy Spirit has shown it to you and it will be done. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, I thank you. I give you the praise and I give you the glory for all your children that are listening to this today, either now, live, or later through the replay. The Lord has spoken. Now let the church say amen. You have spoken to us. You have shown us that once the Holy Spirit reveals it to us while in worship, it's a done deal. All we got to do is speak it out, just like he did. I pray that you give every one of us this understanding here this morning. Remember, the entrance of his word brings light, gives understanding. Hallelujah. And my spirit, which I have put within you, saith the Lord, shall not depart from your mouth. But it will be in your mouth, you will speak it, and you will also be in the mouth of your children, because you will give it to them also, the information. When they sit at a meal, or they put it in the front lens of their eyes like glasses, you know, you do these things, and you always speak them out, shall not depart from your mouth. That's so important. So, Lord, as we speak out and as your children speak out these words today, let the heavens confirm. The angels of the Lord are waiting. We are told that the Lord has given them commandment. Once you speak his word, put voice to his word, according to Psalm 103:20, then the Lord who has already given the angels instruction, that you will go into action when they speak my word, and you will see to it. And let it be so as they have spoken. You see to it. Praise the Lord. Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation? All right. So, in closing this prayer today, let me speak the word of God to you in Isaiah 59:21. Praise God. My spirit, saith the Lord, which I have put upon you, just like I put it upon Adam. Glory to God. And I put it upon the Christ. Shall not depart out of thy mouth. I have put it in thy mouth. My words, my spirit that's upon you, and my words we have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of your mouth. The spirit and the word working together in your mouth. And you use it to declare forth and say, let there be what the Holy Spirit already showed me. Let it come to pass. Let this my body be healed. Glory to God. Let the waters be gathered together and let the dry land appear. Let the Red Sea, pile up on either side. Let the right, the ground appear for me to pass through. Hallelujah. You begin to speak things into existence. But God has shown it to you. Be like God. Be like your Father. Speak like He spoke. Function like He functioned. And see the same results as He did. For He commanded things that were not, as though they were. Because He said it, saw it first and said it, they came to pass. And they came to be. So Father, we thank you for this knowledge. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.